went out with the great James Brown. We're coming back in with Drake, because Take Care Drake was born on this day. Drake was born on this day in 1986 as part of our day in history and our musical breaks for this day in history. The Alternative Roots Festival was here in Baltimore. What year was that?
2011.
That I took a huge part in. I love being part of that. It's coming back in Baltimore, and that voice is Carlton Turner, who is Executive Director of Alternative Roots out of Atlanta, Georgia. He's in Baltimore. Good to see you, Carlton. Welcome to the studio.
Good to be back, and thank you for opening your space to us again.
Always good to have you with us. Ashley Minner's in the studio. Ashley is a community artist and a member of Alternative Roots Executive Committee, and we're also working with Ashley on a program coming up in the coming weeks around Native American folks in Baltimore and more. Good to have you in the studio, Ashley.
Good to be here. Thanks,
always
Mark.
Good to see you. And have another Ashley. Ashley Milburn. Hey, Ashley Milburn's in the studio, artist and co-founder of Culture Works. Good to see you again, Ashley.
You too.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at talk@steinershow.org, tweet us at Mark Steiner, log on to our Facebook pages, and maybe you were at the last Alternative Roots. That was really an incredible festival right in the middle of the highway to nowhere in 2011. And want to reprise that and think about it, 410-319-8888. But let's go back for a moment, Carlton. I mean, everybody wasn't there, and everybody doesn't know what Alternate Roots is. So let's start there.
Sure. Alternate Roots is a 38-year-old member service organization that works to support artists that are doing work at the intersection of arts and activism. We serve artists in the southern region of the United States, from Maryland to Texas. And we were founded at the Highlander Center for Research and Education in 1976 by a number of theater artists. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Highlander Center, it was it's an 80-plus-year-old institution that was labeled communist training camp, all these crazy labels. But basically, it was a place for freedom and liberation and bringing labor and civil rights and human rights activists together in a time of deep segregation in the Deep South. They were bringing together cross-cultural communities and working towards rights in the Appalachian coal fields and labor movements, anti-war movements, civil rights movement. It's where Rosa Parks was trained in nonviolence. Ella Baker, Septima Clark, Martin Luther King Jr., all those people originated with a lot of their work.
Actually, you can see the Highland Center. That center was the place that kind of, because of Ella Baker, meeting folks there that they had not met her before, that exploded the civil rights movement out of the Highlands, out of that center.
Yeah, a lot of the cultural work that was going along with it, the Freedom Singers and people like Pete Seeger and Guy and Candy Caravan.
We Shall Overcome was born there.
It was reprised. It wasn't born there, but it definitely was reprised. Yeah, and there's still a We Shall Overcome fund that helps to support work that is benefiting African American communities in the South that operates out of the Highlander Center.
So for you, I mean, let's get to Baltimore though for a second. So talk a bit about how this has continued here. What's going on?
Well, my first Roots experience came as a result of the work that happened here in Baltimore in 2011, and I was actually invited by the other Ashley to take part. I was brought in as a panelist for a year when they dedicated a bunch of funding to Baltimore projects in anticipation of the festival. And since that time, I've become pretty active in the organization, and our Baltimore, what we call a rhizome, has really expanded. We have a lot of rooters in the area.
I like that, rooters.
Yeah. The Highlander, that development, that rhizome, is what we wanted to do in Baltimore. We reached out to Carlton some years ago and threatened him and coerced him.
They had to threaten you, Carlton.
Well, they actually reached out to Alternate Roots. I was just the unfortunate one to answer the phone that day.
But we needed to get them here because Baltimore is kind of a 50-50. It could go either way. It was always on the precipice of doing something good. And we chose West Baltimore as an example of if it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. And the community development initiative that Culture Works began with Carlton and Alternate Roots created a synergy around the question, can art and culture create community engagement? And that's where the festival example.
So when we talk about cultural works, I mean, as a piece for kind of where art and social justice meet for change, what does that really mean? concretely?
We've always been asked that question, what is Cultural Works? Cultural Works was intentionally created as a non-structure. It had to become a voice of the community, led by the community, for the community. If we had created an institution called Cultural Works, a nonprofit, then it becomes all about an institution called Cultural Works and what it does. So the experiment was, can you take cultural resources into a low-resourced community, and can that create enough engagement within that community for them to start using the creative concepts around art and culture to solve problems that for 25 years have been unformed, unspoken to, and it worked. That's what Culture Works is. It's what we call a fluid engagement, no leadership.
Well, I mean, you've seen that happen in places like Ferguson. Mm-hmm. All the conversations we have with people mm-hmm. in Ferguson is just that.
Well, I think, and I think there's also a misnomer there, because there is a lot of on-the-ground leadership in Ferguson that was there long before the Michael Brown murder.
But not centralized, the thing.
Well, yeah, it has been centralized. I think we've seen is that the continuation of the not recognizing those structures that have already existed in community, because this thing has become popular. A lot of people have traveled there to engage in an activist setting, but aren't acknowledging the on-the-ground work that has been done by a lot of people for a long time in that community, that even enabled the ability for there to be people don't recognize that this has been a constant struggle in Ferguson since the Michael Brown murder. They haven't stopped protesting. It didn't stop when they turned the cameras on to right. whatever the next thing mm-hmm. was happening. Right. So that takes on-the-ground leadership, and it has existed there. It just has not been recognized.
It's the same fertile ground that happened in West Baltimore. There have been community engagement initiatives for the last 30 years. What art and culture does is provide a different way of coming up with elegant solutions. It's a different frame of work when you talk about the power of who we are as opposed to what's happening to us, what hurts. So we switched that whole thing. We used the groundwork that was there for 30 years, 25 years among 23 community groups and just brought a simple question. Let's talk about who we are and why we are through our art and culture and celebrate that. And through that, created a shared history, a shared story, where you own part of it and I own part of it, and let's celebrate it.
So, I mean, Carlton, you've been doing this stuff for a while, and I'm curious how we think that this idea, and as you jump in, because you kind of knew at this game than the other two, though you've been in it for a while yourself, especially in community activism, mm-hmm. how that really changes things. I mean, you know, when you talk about, I watch the things that I've been reading a lot about the stuff that you all do out of Atlanta around the country. And clearly being based in the South, which is at for many people, kind of the heart of the ideology, trying to keep us back, as well as heart of the place that's trying to push us forward all at the same time. So I'm curious how you think this idea of culture works really works as change agent. Because sometimes it's hidden. You know, like what you're describing, Ashley, we don't see it every day, right?
Mm-mm.
So how is it, you know what I'm saying? Where's that power come from? What's it really doing?
So I think making the distinction between Cultural Works as an organization, the idea of cultural workers as an occupation, not so much as a professionalized occupation, but a way that people see their work in community, and cultural organizing, which is the mm-hmm. active ingredient of putting all those pieces together to create something that can be a synthesis for change. What we've seen in our organization is a methodology that has evolved out of just regular community-based infrastructure that have existed in communities all across the world. Since time immemorial. So what we're trying to do is to elevate the natural ways that we connect and the natural ways that we share stories as a way of finding our collective humanity, of finding what our individual purpose is and uniting those things in a way in which we can find, as Ashley was saying, those elegant solutions to entrench everyday problems that a lot of them are man-made and they're made by institutions. So how do we kind of like, I think West Baltimore Festival, the Roots Fest, was a way of showing kind of like how you dismantle that reliability, that reliance on the governmental infrastructures, the city infrastructures, because those infrastructures weren't really supportive of that work that was happening. But the people made it happen regardless. And they recognized that there was a need and an opportunity to create something out of their own soul and something that they wanted to see happen in their own communities. And that's where the festival actually got its legs.
So, I mean, so what happens this year? What is going to be? It's different this year, right?
Well, it's not a festival. We're actually thinking.
What's actually happening?
Yeah, so you want to talk about what was happening, actually?
It's been, almost 4 years since 11,000 people assembled on a place.
It was a great day, too.
It was a day of peace. There was not one criminal. There was not one argument. There were police officers just hugging people and talking to people. It was a natural community engagement.
It was.
But it was solely unique and one of a kind. And that was the purpose, was to model that opportunity to be resilient, to remember who we were and where we came from and the history of the highway and all of that sort of thing. Find a way to connect each other in a celebration. And what that created was healing. The problem with this natural, fluid, organizational around culture is that it takes time for it to ingest and form. What we have found over the last 3 years is that we have changed some of the mindset among the people that interact in West Baltimore. Even PNC Bank has created a community arts support mechanism. Franklin Square Community Association has used art as a central point for organizing their thing. It has created a subtle way of ownership and union. And what we're trying to do now is to bring all of the people that experienced it, the 2011 festival, bring them into a room and say, what do you remember?
11,000 people?
If we could. Well, you are all invited, except bring your own lunch.
So part of what we're doing is tomorrow we will have a town hall meeting at the Arts Social Club starting at noon.
Pennsylvania Avenue.
100-year-old black.
So we're working there, and the format that we're using is we've actually taken some years of writing that have happened since the festival by people here and other scholars and other community engagement artists and turned it into a two-act play. And so there will be community members from West Baltimore and other people who participated in the festival reading the parts for this play. The first act will be based on this work that has been done by these artists over the last couple of years of writing.
Is the one that Sheila Gaskins is involved in?
That's the first attempt to visualize what we were after. Yeah, The Last House Standing.
These are two different pieces. So The Last House Standing is a piece. There will be a piece of that shown tomorrow as well. But this piece has been written out of, it's basically reliving the genesis of the festival, the story that we've shared today about how Ashley kind of ran into Alternate Roots and we came and began doing the work here, building the groundwork for the festival. The second act of the play is then performed live by the audience members, and it is a story circle process in which we're looking to get people to tell their stories about whatever their interactions with the festival was, whatever their interaction with cultural works, whatever the community of West Baltimore, and use that as a place to talk about both the challenges and the successes of the festival, what the long-term impact has been over the last 3 years of that work in this community, and how does that influence the way that we organize and strategize moving forward. And then we'll have reception and just hang out and enjoy each other's company and just build on that momentum. Alternate Roots is about to be 40 years old. And so as we think about how we begin to do the work of how we show up in a public space at 40, we're starting with revisiting what we did at 35, which was this work here in Baltimore and the work that continues to be done here.
And actually, you said, and tell me how you were brought in. What, to add on to what they were saying about what you see happening Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
And beyond.
I don't know. I think it's probably going to involve a lot of faces that have come to Roots since the festival in 2011. It's going to be an interesting gathering. I was late coming in to the work going on in West Baltimore. I'm a lifetime resident of East Baltimore.
That's right.
So it's exciting.
They let you come anyway.
They let me come anyway. They let me come anyway.
Pushed her. Yeah. Pushed her up front.
It's some wonderful things going over there. I'm happy to take part.
So what do you see going from here? I mean, because you've been involved in lots of communities. You've been involved in East Baltimore work. You've been involved in the Native community. You've been involved in the Black community, a lot of work. I mean, how do you see this life coming out of this afterwards?
I imagine it's just going to keep growing. I mean, after you convince people of their efficacy, like, you know, just they become empowered. I mean, the solutions to all of society's problems, I believe, are in the hearts and the minds of everyday people. So what Ashley's been talking about, his big ideas that he's been telling me about for 10 years, I'm starting to see some of these really huge things come to fruition, and I have no doubt it'll keep growing.
Think of it, Mark, as a mirror, a cultural mirror. This is for not only an opportunity to bring Roots back into Baltimore and for Roots to see the effect of its focus, its resources, its commitment to art and culture and social change. But more importantly, it's for the community to hear their stories, to connect again to the power of what they have done. I mean, this was an effort all the way down the line of everybody had to give a pint of blood. This cost us. This was a hard, difficult, and wonderful and engaging experience. And for the community to remember that and for them to see their story told by others is significant. For them to realize that that's my story. What am I going to do with it? So it's always a question of transferring power. This is your story. What are you going to do with your story?
And so how does that play itself out in other places that have done this maybe longer?
Yeah, I think it's already played itself out from an institutional perspective with Alternate Roots. We've altered a number of our programs, and our community engagement strategy has been completely influenced by the work that we did here in Baltimore. For instance, we changed our core program, which was called the Community Artist Partnership Program, which we funded, I think, 6 projects here in Baltimore, mm-hmm. leading up to the festival and through the festival, into a program that program used to just kind of like give a grant and offer some suggestions and support, but you know, you're really on your own to do the work of the project. And we shift that to where it's no longer even considered a grant. It's a partnership and an investment from our institution to working with an artist and their community partners, in which Roots comes on as an additional partner to that work to support the project in all of its capacity. So we basically take on multiple partnerships within a year of our artist's work, and that work becomes the work of our organization, and we leverage the capacity of our own organization to support that work throughout the year and throughout multiple years. So that's just one of the shifts that the work here, you know, helped us to understand how to do our work better. And so we're just in a constant place of trying to evolve our practices and really be of support of what's happening in the community.
But, Mark, I hear your questions about, well, show me the evidence. What have you done? Where are you going? Social change is so slow, especially when you add the cultural context to it. It is it's a seed in a, and you plant it and you nurture it and you grow it. You have no idea what's going to come out of it, but you are waiting for the seedling to hit the earth, to hit the sky, so that you can start thinking about, well, what is it, and do we eat it? Do we wear it? you know, that kind of stuff. So it's so intangible. It's like faith. It's like love. It's like caring. It's like all of the things that you can't measure. But you can slowly see a shift in the way people operate and the way people feel and the way institutions relate to each other. We put together 23 community groups. We had maybe 20 partners all over the city, including Alternate Roots. A partnership in a soup like that is hard to put together, but I can't tell you what it's going to taste like until after. And the community, we're waiting for the community to tell us what it tastes like and what next on the menu they want to do. That's about as tangible as it gets.
We had a conversation here the other day on the air earlier this week, you all blur sometimes, Monday. And it had to do with race and the arts in this community. And who gets funded, who doesn't get funded, and what people are trying to do with the arts in this community, and how so much of the community of the arts that come out of the Black community, come out of Latino communities, come out of the Native communities, doesn't get seen or funded.
It's not that's right. Way, that's the lay of the land. That's the way it goes.
But also the other part of that is, and Sheila called in. Sheila Gaston's called in and read one of her poems that day in the show. And the other part is the power of arts to transform, and how people transform communities and transform themselves and transform a struggle to move it forward. I'm just curious how you see that, because that to me is where. I mean, for me, that's where the rubber meets the road.
We call it what's between a rock and a hard place. It's a very difficult sort of fluid kind of organizational thing that you have to become to manipulate the rock and the hard place in order for movement to happen. One of the things that helped us from the beginning was something that Carlton's brother, Maurice Turner, told us, that we don't need money. We need to know our resources. We need to know what we have. And we need to own it. We raised close to, $800,000 to put on a festival in a place that never, ever,
right.
never. We
right.
had, we. I've been personally told, we would help you if you do it on the east side, but the west side, we can't, it's going to blow up. things won't happen. It was an example of doing things in ownership within a community. Of its resources and extending out to finding skilled and caring partners to make it work. We weren't necessarily wholly supported by the structure of art within this city.
I think that's an understatement.
And
I'd like to add that we didn't raise $100,000 for the festival. The festival cost right at $650,000.
Mm-hmm.
We raised about $120,000 for the festival. And I think that's one of those places where it gets, mm-hmm. Kind of misconstrued. No one would give us any support to do work in West Baltimore, period. PNC Bank was one of, and Bonsal Coors Hospital were the two local funders that actually, put an investment in the festival. And outside of that, all of the funding that came to support the work came through roots relationships that we had, that they were funding the work of Alternate Roots. And I think, we were hoping that we could really expand that funding base here by doing this work. But nobody was like, that sounds great. But, unless you're doing it over on this side of town or with these people, nobody's going to support that work. So, it's really important to think about what we were able to pull off in that in West Baltimore. With no real local investment outside of what I named PNC and Bonsal Coors Hospital. It was remarkable.
So what does that lesson say? I mean, because I think that part of the reason was what you're describing here is that the festival took place in a place we call the Highway to Nowhere, which is the highway folks would know what we're talking about, from what MLK Boulevard is now to Edmondson Avenue, neighborhoods just destroyed and turned asunder. Divided and just let to go to waste.
Displaced 19,000 people.
Right, displaced 19,000 people. And so, and that neighborhood, people look at it as a place just plagued with drugs and plagued with crime, but also blessed with lots of incredibly powerful, beautiful people who live in those neighborhoods. But those neighborhoods aren't invested in ever.
No.
So, I mean, if you do it downtown, if you do it in the middle of the Inner Harbor, if you do it in part of the Hopkins control part of East Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Well, that was the whole
that
point.
That might happen. But so what is it? So the question is then, that's why I keep asking the question, then what is built from that? Because I think the power is there. There's all kinds of power in those communities, all kinds of incredible stuff going on. So how do you build on that is what I'm saying.
Unless you experience that gift of empowerment by yourself with your two hands, you don't see it. You can't recognize it as something that you own. What the festival did was show Alternate Roots and Culture Works and everybody that got involved in it and participated in it that it's possible to have self-empowerment. What you do with that self-empowerment is another step forward. And this thing that we're doing Saturday is another step forward, is to ask that question. What do you do with it now? because everybody that we've been in contact with about the festival who attended it realized how significant and important it was, but they don't have that skill set yet to go to the next step. So this is a test for us.
Is this going to go on from what time to what time on Saturday?
Starts at noon, and we'll wrap up around 6.
All of it in the Arts Social Club?
Arts Social Club.
And that's a storied venue.
Yeah.
Have you been inside of it yet?
Since on this trip, but I've been in previous trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been our partner from beginning with the festival and helping us get our act together.
I think it's just incredible. These kind of things, there's so much to do here this weekend by going to places like the Arts Social Club and what we talked about yesterday with the Vegan Soul Affair that's happening in Baltimore. There's a lot of really community building things going on in this town. I really encourage people to take part of it. And looking forward is that West Baltimore Story will take place, as we said, Saturday, October 25th between noon and 6 p.m. at the storied Arts Social Club, 2426 Pennsylvania Avenue. And the Baltimore community is invited to attend. Representatives from Culture Works and Alternate Roots will all be there. There'll be refreshments and a short play. And you can call Denise Johnson at 410-448-9969. That's 410-448-9969. Or to go to Denise Griffin, GRIFFIN, Denise Griffin 99 at yahoo.com for more information. Or just show up.
Show up.
Just show up.
Show up with your story.
We'll have some food and stuff too.
Noon to 6, Arts Social Club. A great place. It really is a great place.
Yeah.
And so go there, and it's going to be an important event to keep this thing alive in Baltimore. Carlton Turner's come back, Executive Director of Alternative Roots out of Atlanta, who's been in the studio with us.
And I'm from Mississippi. I live in Mississippi just to make
you
sure.
You do, that's right.
I do know that.
But the headquarters is in Atlanta.
Because people here be like, man, you be telling everybody you live in Atlanta. No, I don't live in Atlanta. Headquarters in Atlanta. I live in Mississippi.
Where in Mississippi do you live?
I live in Raymond, Mississippi.
Yeah. All right. And Ashley Milburn's back in the studio, artist and co-founder of Culture Works. It's a real force in our community. Ashley, good to have you with us.
Bless you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Another great force in our community is Ashley Minner, who's community artist and member of the Alternative Roots Executive Committee, who wrote to us and said, will you please do this show? Of course we do this show. Ashley, good to have you in the studio.
Thanks, Mark.
And thank you for hosting the stage during Roots Fest. We really enjoyed you.
I loved it. I had a blast.
Yeah. Chuck Brown.
The late, great Chuck Brown.
Talib Kweli. Who's Anthony David, it was amazing.
That was a great day. We have all those tapes still in our archives of that great day. Reminding on the way out of here that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com, or go to steinershow.org and click on MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. And reminding you this weekend, tomorrow as well, after you check out this, coming over to the Everyman Theater, I'm hosting A World of the Play, A New Top Gun, A New War, on Saturday, October 25th, that's tomorrow, at 5 p.m., conversation that grows out of Everyman's current performance of Grounded. Join our World of the Play discussion. We interrogate the incredible topical themes surrounding women in the military, motherhood, ethics of drone warfare. Just go to everymantheater.org for information and join us there with a really interesting panel of women who actually fly the drones, have pushed the drones, and people who are opposed to the drones together talking about what that world means. So join us for that. And also join me this Sunday at 10 a.m. On MSNBC as I am participating in Melissa Harris Perry's show this Sunday at 10 o'clock, and you can check that out. The Mark Steiner Show is Production Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Seth Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers are Andre Melton. Our intern is Sienna Greaves. To hear this show again, podcast, our past shows, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes on your favorite podcast app. And for Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.